Okay. I'd like to do Bezos Hashem is actually learn with you the Parsha of Kabbalah Satoru. The Chesca Levenstein said and others that you can move into Shavuos in a very profound way by really learning in depth how the B'nai Israel moved into Shavuot, their journey to Har Sinai, leading up to Matan Torah. So let's try to do that. Let's try to do that. So we'll actually see it inside. Maybe I'll bring in a pile of chumash in case anybody wants to actually follow, but it won't be necessary. There are more right out here if anybody wants, but you won't really need it. What? Oh, so what parak and pasuk? So Shmois parak yud tes from the beginning. Again, if you're without a chumash, you'll be fine. Even though we'll be reading it inside. So this parsha starts b'chodesh hashlishi letzeis bnei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim b'yom hazeh ba'u midbar Sinai. On the third month after bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, on this day they arrived at Har Sinai. So I'm already going to note that the very first word of this parsha already calls attention. Because the most ubiquitous way that Psukim and certainly and Parshias begin is with the word Vav, right? It's not so common. In the beginning of Chumashim, you have some Chumashim that start without the word Vav, but not all. Most start with the word Vav. And here we have a Parsha that starts without the word Vav. And that actually indicates that there's a certain new beginning here, meaning the Vav always implies how this, whatever we're about to tell you now, continues off what we were discussing earlier. Now, this certainly does, well, it's like any of the other events that have been happening. Yet, we're already indicating here that to an extent, there's a new beginning here. In other words, the world is really about to start functioning now. To put it the way Rabbi Avigdor Miller put it, is that there's the simpler part of creation took 6 days. But that wasn't the completion of creation. The Gemara actually tells us this. The Gemara tells us that when the world was created, Hashem kind of left it hanging in suspension, waiting to see, will the B'nai Yisrael be mekabel the Torah at Sinai? Up until then, because the world was kind of like left in limbo. Does it have existence or does it not have existence? It was kind of like on borrowed time until we reached that point. Why? Because Hashem's purpose in the Bria was not just to have a world. But his purpose in the Bria was to have an Am Yisrael functioning in that world. Now, so all the backdrop, as in the galaxies, all of Earth, all of plant life, all of animal life, even mankind, that took 6 days to create. That was the simpler part of setting up Hashem's world. The next part was bringing an Am Hashem onto the scene and actually putting them into play, activating an Am Hashem. That was already the more complicated part of the Bria. That was the more complex part of the Bria. And that took another 2,448 years to develop properly because this was not going to be a direct Bria of Hashem. This was something that mankind or those of mankind who would choose to would bring themselves to that place. So that was already a delicate interaction of people's choices with Hashem's interaction with that, until we reached the point that yes, we had those members of mankind who chose to draw themselves close to Hashem. We had the process of them being selected to father the Am Hashem, and then the process of actually developing the Am Hashem. This was a delicate, complex process that required interaction between man's choices and Hashem's manipulations in response to those choices. And that took another 24, 48 years. But it's at this point where the world is actually about to be plugged in as, oh, now the world was completed. Now the world was brought to its completion. So let's see. On this day, they came to Har Sinai. Now, I want to immediately read the next pasuk, and then we'll note some of the profundity of this parsha. Vayis'u they traveled from Rephidim. That was the place where they were before. What happened in Rephidim? That was where they had their encounter with Amalek, right? Vayavo Midbar Sinai, they arrived at Midbar Sinai, Vayachanu Midbar, and they camped there in the desert. Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahar, and Klal Yisrael camped there opposite the mountain. These are two packed psukim, and I don't know if we're going to get any further than them this week and maybe even next week. Let's see. Let's see. So let's just note something. Just when we're looking at the psukim, let's note a certain peculiarity that should hit us. The Torah says in Pasuk Aleph that on Rosh Chodesh Sivan they arrived at Midbar Sinai. Then in Pasuk Beis it tells us they traveled from Rephidim and they came to Midbar Sinai. In other words, the Torah is telling you they came to Midbar Sinai, then the Torah is backing up, and then the Torah is again telling you that they arrived in Midbar Sinai. What's happening here? It's also repeating it. So what's happening here? So what's happening here is something very, very profound. Both the Ramban and the Or HaChaim each express it in their way. And I'll use the Or HaChaim's words. These are words that are even scary to say, but we can certainly say them simply quoting the Or HaChaim. It says as follows. What is the Torah? The Torah is not a record of history. The Torah is not a record of history. The Torah is Hashem's perspective on his world. The Torah is Hashem's description of his world. And therefore, any nuances of the Torah are meant to be taken as Hashem's sentiments, as Hashem's sensitivities. Things that get more focus in the Torah are to be viewed as more important in Hashem's eyes. Things that get less important, less focus in the Torah are meant to be viewed as less important. Rav Gamliel used to stress that a lot, that the Torah is not only telling you how to differentiate between right and wrong. The Torah is also there to teach you how to feel about things and how to differentiate between important and unimportant, which is also very, very important because we're not just here to avoid doing the wrong things. We're here to dedicate our lives to the important things. And therefore, it's very important to also know where should you be spending energies and where should you not, so you don't waste the precious commodity called life. Whatever the case is, the Torah is Hashem's perspective on his world. And it's actually kiviyachol expressing Hashem's sentiments. So the Or HaChaim says here, mind-boggling words. He says that what was going on here was there's an expression of excitement here. It's almost like, so to speak, the Ramban says in the Or HaChaim, Klal Yisrael were waiting anxiously for this day, but not only Klal Yisrael. Hashem was waiting eagerly for this day. Hashem was waiting so eagerly for this day that, so to speak, when it actually arrives, kiviyochol, Hashem, his words are Ava mekalkelis. The intense love messes up the normal order of things. And first, there's this expression of excitement. This is the day that Klal Yisrael reached Har Sinai. Oh, wait, we didn't even tell you what happened. Now let's back up and tell you the story. But before this, before the details are even told, before the facts are told, first there's just this expression of excitement. Bayoy mazeh, my day has arrived, right? Kiviyochol, the Torah is, Kiviyochol Hashem is making that exclamation. The day is here. Now let's take a step back and tell you what actually happened. The words that the Or HaChaim uses is Avo Mekalkeles Es Hashura. That, you know, sometimes there's the way things ought to be done, there's protocol, there's the way things ought to be done. But sometimes when there's intense love, it just messes up the order of things. I also find the opposite, Chas V'Shalom, Sinna Mekalkeles Es Hashura. A person, you know, can be driven by deep hatred to do things that are unreasonable, right? And here we have a situation where Avo Mekalkeles Es Hashura, that the intense love and excitement to be yochel on Hashem's part is actually, so to speak, messing up the normal order of things. Now let's appreciate something. If in Hashem's sentiment, the normal order of things is being messed up, that means that that is the accurate order of things, meaning that Hashem's love and excitement for Klal Yisrael, it simply knocks everything else out of the ballpark. Any other sense of the way the world operates, of the way things ought to be, that just knocks everything else out of the ballpark. And that's what's being expressed here. This is Hashem's excitement about what's happening. The way the Or HaChaim says it is that the Bashamayim, they were waiting eagerly, kind of like what we expressed before, but in a more intense way. From the moment of creation, there was just this anticipation, waiting, waiting, waiting for the day. And then when it finally arrives, kiviyachol, the excitement couldn't be contained. The excitement couldn't be contained, and it just bursts out. He says, "Higia b'nechshak lidei choishek." When the loved and the lover came together, it just burst everything else. Now, the Sfarim tell us also more than that. The Sfarim tell us more than that, that there was actually a certain tfitzas aderech. They arrived at Har Sinai sooner than would naturally happen. So here also, the Sfarim say amazing things. The process of the Sfira, now this is in general a question that's asked. When do we celebrate Shavuos? We celebrate Shavuos on the sixth day of Sivan, Vav Sivan. What do we call it? Zman Matan Torah Seinu. In all likelihood, Matan Torah did not take place on the sixth day of Shavuos. There's a lack of clarity in the Gemara exactly how you count the days, right? Exactly how you count the days. It might have been the fifth day, might have been the sixth day, maybe the seventh, right? And yet, we always have Shavuos on the sixth day, just the way our calendars are set up. It could come out otherwise, but whatever the case is, it wasn't necessarily given then. And so the question is, why are we naming this as Zman Matan Torah Seinu? And here, the Sfarim say that Shavuos, Matan Torah, was not a matter of the day. It was a matter of 49 days after the Sfira was completed when they came out of Mitzrayim, because this wasn't about a certain point in time. It was about a process. The Zman Matan Torah was after the process of the Sfira was completed. That's the Zman Matan Torah. Like saying it's like a week after whatever. It's not a matter of the date. What was this process? This process had two sides to it. The process was Hashem preparing us. The way the Sfarim put it, it was like a woman becoming tar for her husband through 7 days, 7 days of moving out of her state of tumah. So these 7 weeks corresponded to those 7 days. We were being spiritually ready to be able to come to that very great place. Now, we don't really know what Nevuah is, so we can't appreciate the magnitude of what Hashem did with Klal Yisrael then. Usually, Nevi'im have to work toward Nevuah over years. We've discussed, talked about that other times. Over years of intense work on themselves, of intense refinement and perfection of their character, of cleansing their personalities, of intense learning. It's a years and years. But Hashem put the B'nai Yisrael through a very intense process to ready them for that. And the Klal Yisrael on their end were busy working along with that process on their end to be growing toward it, moving themselves toward it. That's the significance of the days of Sfira in our times also, to be moving toward it. But whatever the case is, what the Sfarim say is that when they actually reached the point that they were close enough, so Hashem just bumped them, jumped them over to Midbar Sinai, in an unnaturally quick way. And those 6 days from when they arrived at Har Sinai, it was 5, 6 days, whatever it was, those few days from when they arrived in Midbar Sinai until they actually got the Torah, Hashem starts interacting with them as soon as they get there, right? Messages from Moshe back to Klal Yisrael. The Sfarim say that these were not, it wasn't just technicalities of messages that had to be conveyed back and forth. These communications with Hashem, they had already been through the process of the Sefirot, bringing them higher and higher. So let's say they got to 100 degrees in terms of Tara, in terms of Kedusha. But Hashem said, now we're going to take it from 100 degrees to 1,000 degrees. They did the bulk of the Sefirah. They did the bulk of the Sefirah in those 6 plus weeks. But in that last week, Hashem took it to a whole different level in those few days that they were actually sitting at Sinai preparing for Matan Torah.
I know that's still the question, but how long was it between getting out of Mitzrayim and getting to Har Sinai, and how long between Har Sinai and getting to Israel? Was it 40 years after Har Sinai? Yeah. So that was only six weeks.
It was the days of the Sefirah, right? They went out of
That's
Mitzrayim,
it.
They began counting the Sefirah, and they came to Sinai. Moshe, okay, you added a day, didn't add a day. There's already the calculations of one day this way, one day that way. But that was it. Yes, it was right the 3rd month after they left. Afterwards, in the 40 days following, the 40 years following the giving of the Torah. That's right. That's right. Okay. So that's also why there's a lot of significance to the question.
So into all this, the learning,
That's a machlokes. There's a big machlokes when the story of Yisro actually happened. Did it taka happen in between and Moshe was all the learning that was going on was just Moshe dealing with the questions they had in the interim? Or did it actually happen afterwards? Even though the Torah is presented before, it's not necessarily so. There's a rule that ain't mukta mumu'ucha b'Torah. Things are not necessarily presented in chronological order. Okay, it's a machlokes, Rashi, the Ramban, it's a big deal. We'll just leave it as a question mark, as an educated question mark. That's right. That's right. When they arrived at Mara, there were already a few mitzvahs in place before they came to Har Sinai. One category of which was Mishpatim. They were already given dinim, the dinim that they needed to navigate at Mara, right? Mara was the place that they came to after 3 days in the desert without water. There they already got Shabbos and they got dinim. There were a few mitzvahs already given then. Okay. Now, the Torah, the in this pasuk here, which actually describes to us. Sorry, I was going to say that actually also gives us an inkling as to the significance of the days between all of the days of Sfira have that power of cleansing, of purification, of being able to grow. But the days from Rosh Chodesh Sivan, when they actually already were camping there. Until Shavuos, and prime, even more so, the Shloshes HaMe'atbala, 3 days leading up to Shavuos, have that much more spiritual power. See, the great people of old used to take those days very, very intensely in terms of the properties of the day to really bring you close. This was the right, this is what's described in the Psukim of Shir HaShirim of Yishokeinu and Shikra Piyo, right? We long for the days when Hashem drew us, brought us into his innermost chambers. This is the Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai. Now we move on to the second pasuk to break it down a bit more. Because, as we said before, there is a lot going on here in this pasuk too. So, Midbar Sinai. They traveled from Rephidim. They came to Midbar Sinai. Bamidbar, and they camped in the desert. Now, where else were they going to camp? They arrived at Midbar Sinai, where else were they going to camp? So the Ramban says, all these things are just bringing out the excitement of the air, that the atmosphere that was there. He says, Vayachanu Bamidbar means that usually when they came to a camp, this is usually the way it worked. You'd explore the area, you scout the area, see when they would stop somewhere in the desert. So it's a whole big expansive area. Some areas are more comfortable than others. They would check out the terrain. they would find where are more comfortable places to pitch your tent, less comfortable places to pitch your tent. Different families would take different areas, etc. The Ramban says, "Ve'achanun ba'midbar" simply implies they arrived and they just set up camp wherever they were, and nobody was interested in scouting out the area. The excitement was such that they just camped in the desert, being wherever, however. They weren't interested. They were only focused on the immense things that are going to be happening here. Right? This is going to be the culmination of everything they've been experiencing up till now. After the great experiences of the 10 Makas, of Makas Bechiris, of Kriyas Yamsuf, where they're being catapulted higher and higher, they said, Ritzoneinu Liras is Makenu, right? After all that, they culminated with that. We want to meet Hashem close up. And Hashem said, that's a bold request. But Hashem said, I want that too. And he's bringing them toward this great rendezvous. So what happens? So the Or HaChaim leads into this pasuk the three fundamental conditions for Kabbalah Satoru. My son's bar mitzvah, Rav Malinowitz, Zichrono Livracha, that was going to be his bar mitzvah present for my son, to tell him this Or HaChaim. What ended up happening was, it was very classic. He came, it took a long time for things to start. He said, can I just get out of here? I told him, fine, and that was that. But he left me with the notes, so I could repeat it. Okay, but the Or HaChaim notes three things here. First, Vayisu Merfidim, they traveled from Merfidim. What went on in Refidim? In Refidim, they were attacked by Amalek, right? Rashi tells us that this is actually implied in the words Refidim. Refidim was Rofu Yudeim in HaTorah, meaning they became lax in their Torah study. Here again, we're noting there was Torah study going on already before the Torah was given, right? This is after they got a few mitzvahs. They got a few mitzvahs from Hashem. They already threw themselves into that study. But Rofu Yudeim in HaTorah, there was a certain laxness set in Refidim, which actually instigated the attack of Amalek. So Rashi tells us that they left Refidim, they came to Har Sinai in a state of tshuva, meaning they realized that they had had a certain slip there, and they came in a state of tshuva. What does that tshuva mean? When you talk about tshuva for becoming lax in Torah study, the tshuva means that you are resolving to apply yourself with intensity, resolving to really exert yourself. So the Or HaChaim says this was condition number one, the understanding that if you want to be Mekabel Torah and you want to apply yourself to a life of Torah, this is true both for the study of Torah and for living a life of Torah, you can't have a lackadaisical attitude. You have to be ready to really apply yourself. So that was number one. They departed from Refidim. They left Refidim with that feeling of lax, both in terms of learning Torah. So people ask, why don't we have the same levels of Talmid HaChacham today that we had in earlier times? Why don't we have that? One simple answer, and there's answers at many different levels, but one simple pragmatic answer is that in today's time, our concept of hard work has diminished with time. Meaning in earlier times, if you're talking about 300 years ago, so if you weren't up at 4 in the morning, out, ready to schlep in logs to set the fire, to light the fire in your house was going to be freezing. Now, it didn't matter how late you were up last night. It didn't matter how tired you were, what a rough week you had. The weather didn't care, right? If you weren't schlepping those logs and lighting the fire at 4 in the morning, you were going to freeze. The concept of life's rigors were more in line with the rigors required for Torah study. Today, we don't really have those ideas of rigors, and therefore, for a person to really apply himself to Torah with the required rigor, he has to be operating on a whole different level than what we consider normal today. But this is number one, the readiness to apply themselves with that intensity, with that rigor. And number two is Vayachanu Bamidbar. They noted the setting in which Hashem chose to give the Torah. It's Chazal stress this, that the Torah was given in a midbar. A midbar is a humble place. There's nothing fancy about the midbar, and there's nothing, and Har Sinai Bifrat, you know, that in the midbar is a humble place, and there's nothing growing. It's simple, it's bare, right? And Har Sinai was the lowest of the mountains there. It could have been at least a very great mountain. Hashem chose a lowly, simple, non-egoistic place to give his Torah. Why? Because if you want to really be full of Torah, you have to allow Hashem into your life and self as absolutely as possible. And therefore, you want to move as much ego out of the way. As much of yourself there is there, and this only has to be properly understood, I'm just saying in a simple way now. The more of you is at the forefront, the less room, so to speak, the less room there is for Hashem. The more you can lower yourself and make room for more Shekhinah, the more Shekhinah there will be there. And therefore, the more unassuming and the more self-effacing, the more forgiving a person is. Meaning, things happen. They don't necessarily come up, hit my ego and can't get by. It can get by. The more of an appropriate setting this person is for Torah, because Torah is Shekhinah. Torah is Shekhinah. So this was condition number two. The humility, the self-effacingness that would be necessary for Kabbalah Satayr.
So could it also be that in the desert, you're not focused on like the material world or materiality? In other words, you're in the middle of nowhere. So it's like spirituality is, it's a lot easier to focus than if you were in the middle of New York City or wherever, where there's a lot going on. You're in the middle of nowhere, and like the physical like environment is very
low,
muted. Yeah,
that's very true. It's interesting. It's not stressed here in this context. It is stressed in other contexts. That it's true. They have absolutely nothing to distract them with. That's a very chashuv point. Yes. Now we'll actually see a point that kind of ties into that. And then point number three is Vayichan Sham Yisrael Keneged Ahar. This is the famous drasha, right? Of Vayichan Sham Yisrael. It says Belashan Yachid. Belashan Yachid, singular, and Klal Yisrael, he camped there. Rashi says, Ki ish echad b'lev echad, in full unity. They camped there just as one body. And this is condition number three to be able to absorb Torah. This is condition number three for Ashras Hashchina. The achdus, the unity, the lack of division between Klal Yisrael. This, the Maharal says it's simple math. He says the whole essence of Klal Yisrael, Hashem is one. And as we know, the concept of one is a much deeper concept than just a number, that there aren't two Hashems. The oneness of Hashem is all subject. The Rambam and the Chosolovas go on and on about it, appreciating the depth of what the oneness means. So the Maharal says, Klal Yisrael, Hashem's representatives in this world. They're goy echod ba'aretz. Hashem is echod ba'shamayim, they're goy echod ba'aretz. Right? We've discussed this, how echod is the gematria 13, which is the gematria of the Shvatim. The more one we can be, the better of a reflector Hashem we are, better a reflector of Hashem we can be. The more Hashem, more compatible with Hashem we are. Echad rests on Echad. You have a one that's going to try to rest on four segments. It's just not going to be neat, if we'll just say it in very simple terms, right? And therefore, the more Echad Klal Yisrael can make themselves, the more naturally the Shekhinah will rest on them. So the Aruch Chaim says how these three preconditions for Kabbalah Satera are all being alluded to in this pasuk. An attitude of ready to apply yourself with full energy, with full enthusiasm, with full intensity. A lowly, self-effacing, non-egoistic attitude, and the lack of division. The lack of division. Now, the Kli Yakar says how the two actually come together. Division comes from ego. Right? The more I have my agenda, you have your agenda. So there's me, there's you, and you're getting in my way, and I'm getting in your way. Right? on whatever level it is, whether it's between individuals, whether it's between communities, et cetera, I have my way of doing things, you have your way of doing things. The more I'm out of the picture, the less of a problem I have just blending with other people. And therefore, the Kliyaka says the two really came together. And we can add a point. And we'll end with this for now. But when they came to Har Sinai and saw the majesty of what was going on, they saw the immensity of what was going on. And this was already before they actually even got the Aron was already busy communicating with Moshe from the beginning. Afterwards, it went in infinite levels further when the actual Matan Torah happened. But those days leading up to it were also very, very elevated days. And what they saw, the majesty that they saw going on in Har Sinai, just automatically made them feel like we're so insignificant relative to this. And it's so great, the greatness of being able to be a part of this, to connect to this. But the sense of the ego melting away was a natural effect of seeing the grandeur of Hashem there. And Mimela, automatically, the Achdus was almost a no-brainer. Of course, this is all just about wanting to connect with Hashem. We're all sharing that agenda in an absolute way. And therefore, the intensity, meaning seeing what was going on here, wanting to be a part of it, to give my all to be a part of it, and the absence of the ego and the unity, all naturally came together because of the setting, because of the environment that they're now being exposed to.
Oh, okay.
So the three were, there was the intensity, right? The energetic approach there. That was number one. Number two was the lack of ego, the humility. And number three was the achdus, the unity. Okay. As I said, we moved to the first two psukim, but I think we will actually be able to move on to the third pasuk next week. Okay.
Next week, we'll get the lightning. Thunder and lightning. Thunder and lightning. See, we all have that.